You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, November 12, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, let's travel back in time just 1 week ago to last Sunday, right here at St. Thomas. We celebrated All Saints Sunday as we read 179 names of those who are loved but whom we see no longer. They're now part of that mighty cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints, whose names are known to God, and in that beautiful image from the book of Revelation, they're now rejoicing before the throne of the Lamb. We welcomed 4 precious souls into fellowship with Christ and Christ's church as they were baptized with water and spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. We said goodbye and Godspeed to a much-loved priest who served here faithfully and well for 7 years as she moves on to a new ministry in a new community. We gathered in the beautiful space that we built with such love and devotion and faith to celebrate with a meal prepared by loving hands and generously served with one another. The morning was filled with Holy Spirit energy. The morning was filled with gratitude for being together and with hope for our shared future. It was a rich time that was a reflection of the distinctiveness of Christian community, the place where the welcoming of new life, the parting of friends amidst love and gratitude, the acknowledgement of the reality of death and the faith that death of the body is not the end of the story. All of this is to say that last Sunday was a reflection of Christian community as a place where hope is born, as a place where hope is lived and shared. Now, hold that image of this community from 1 week ago as you travel a little farther back in time with me, about 2,000 years, to a place much different from Medina and West Bellevue. Come back in time with me to a place called Thessalonica in northern Greece. Come back in time with me to another community of Christians, this one that's gathered only 20 years or so after the death of Jesus. Like us, they too are living in hope. Their hope is that Jesus, the Christ, the one whom they call Lord, will be returning soon and returning in great triumph. Do you know 1 Thessalonians is the earliest written of all the books in the New Testament? It was written probably around the year 50 or 51. So really, less than 20 years after Jesus' death, we get a real window into the earliest of these Christian communities. And it's very interesting. And so for the Thessalonians, in the meantime, as they wait for Jesus to return, they've got a big concern. What about the ones who have died? What about the ones who have fallen asleep before the Lord's return? Now, here's a very subtle but very important point. Most scholars agree that the Thessalonians' concern isn't about the salvation of those dear departed loved ones. No, they're concerned about their community, about whether they're going to be cut off forever from these dear ones simply because their timing was bad, because they died before the Lord's return. So Paul brings his remarkable pastor's heart and his expansive theological vision into the midst of this community's anxiety. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever, Paul says. This is a beautiful vision in which heaven and earth are suddenly brought together in this great cosmic embrace. You know, that which has been separated is now joined together. That open space between heaven and earth is now joined together and filled with love. That's what Christ has come to accomplish. In the meantime, Paul has some ethical guidance for how the community should live together. And we'll read about that next Sunday. But I'll give you a hint. It's all about being awake. It's all about being present. And it's all about living as children of light and not as children of darkness. It's very resonant with the gospel reading, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids that we just heard. You know, be present, be awake, be alert, get ready. You know, it's when we fall asleep that we run off the rails. It's when we fall asleep that somehow we turn to objectifying others for the satisfaction of our own selfish desires. That comes from our sleepwalking through life. No, but when we're alive and awake and ready for Christ's presence, then we're on the right track. And what Paul's reminding the Thessalonians is that they are already experiencing the presence of Christ. It's through the power of Christ and the Spirit that they're being brought into right relationship with the God who created them. And they're living in justice and holiness and love with their neighbors because of the presence of Christ among them. See, their partnership with Christ and their day-to-day decision-making is the first edge, it's the first sign of Christ's presence among them. They could see it, they could touch it, they could taste it, they could believe it. Because they could see themselves and their community being transformed. And so the presence that they were preparing for, the presence they were getting ready for, was the perfection of what they were already experiencing. See, it was happening now, and it's going to happen in the future. So what Paul is up to here is to make these foundational realities of creation that are beyond ordinary sight so real that the Thessalonians can give themselves completely to them. And Paul does something really remarkable here. In this short passage, he suggests the very purposes of creation, what I'm going to call the foundational cosmic realities. Now, you all went to college to learn one thing. You went to college to learn the meaning of life, didn't you? Wasn't that the question you were asking yourselves all throughout college? You know, what's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? I'm going to tell you right now. Well, Paul's already told you. I'm just going to interpret it for you. Okay? So Paul says four things in this very short passage. You know, we can extract these four purposes of creation. First, creation begins and ends in God. Creation has a purpose and a destination. That means you have a purpose and a destination. Your life has meaning. And it begins in God and it ends in God. Second, through Jesus the Christ, God has become a human being. And Christ reconciles people to each other. See, in that when the Word becomes flesh, the gap between heaven and earth is bridged. Christ has filled that gap. And what was once separated is now brought together, is now reconciled in Christ. Third, God won't leave anyone who wants to be in right relationship with God and their neighbor. God won't leave anyone out. God won't exclude anyone who seeks right relationship. You know, that's the meaning of righteousness. The meaning of righteousness isn't, you know, not having naughty thoughts or feeling real proud of yourself because you're so good. No, the meaning of righteousness is being in right relationship, first with God, and then through being in right relationship with God, being in right relationship with your neighbor. And God won't leave anyone out who's longing for that. And fourth and finally, Christ is known and present when the community gathers in Christ's name. And when Christians partner with Christ in loving their neighbor. Christ is present. Christ is already here. So that's what I take as Paul's statement to the Thessalonians about God's purpose for creation. And it's all happening right now, not off in the distant future, now. Okay, so let's travel forward in time, back to last Sunday at St. Thomas. We mark the beginnings of life with baptisms. We mark the ending of at least physical life as we read the names of the blessed departed. We mark the reality of transition and change with the celebration of Karen's departure to a new community and her departure from ours. We share the offerings of our homes and kitchens with each other amidst laughter and high spirits. It was a lived experience of Christ's presence in a community. That Christ was truly present on that day. You know, we came together here looking to be in right relationship with God. We came together here looking to be in right relationship with our neighbor. We came here to know one another and to allow ourselves to be known. We came together to love one another and to allow ourselves to be loved. And we do all of this humbly and vulnerably and genuinely and authentically, because Christ is present. Will Christ come again? I believe that with all my heart. Is Christ already here? I know that for sure, because I see Christ in your faces. I experienced Christ's presence so deeply last Sunday, and I'm experiencing Christ's presence right now as I look out at each one of you. As I look out at each one of you, I see the face of Christ. And my prayer is that when you look at me, you see Christ's face too. I saw a really wonderful little blog post the other day that my friend Peter Camp sent me. It was an icon of the wounded Christ. And it was a reflection from an Episcopal monk who lives in San Francisco. And he said, "Do you want to see the wounded Christ?" And then as you look at the blog post, you see hands with the nails driven through, and there's blood where the nails have penetrated the hands, and you read along, and he says, and if you really want to see a picture of the wounded Christ, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom. And so the blog post goes on for, I don't know, two or three paragraphs, and as you scroll down looking for the icon of the wounded Christ, you know what's at the bottom? A mirror. It was beautiful. When you go home this afternoon, when you wake up tomorrow morning, look in the mirror. There you'll see the face of the wounded Christ. That's a very powerful image. Christ is present. Christ is here. You are seeing Christ when you see each other, when you see yourself in the mirror. You are seeing the wounded Christ. So we're here together at St. Thomas, living out God's purpose for creation. We're here together living in Christ's presence. And you'll carry Christ's presence with you as you leave here today and as you go back out into the world. And you'll find his presence out in the world too. So be awake. Be alert for Christ. You'll meet Christ in the faces of friends and strangers. You'll even meet Christ in the faces of people who annoy you. You know, one of my old mentors used to say, "Christ is present in everyone who comes into my office. Although sometimes he shows up in deep disguise." You know what I mean? And Paul's word to the Thessalonians is the word for us too. Remember those 179 names we read last Sunday? They are with Christ and so are we. In a few moments, we're going to say together, "Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. My dear sisters and brothers, you can take that to the bank. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.